Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
All right, we continue with the Flames Roundtable, the pinch-hitting appearances. Darren Haynes of The Athletic joining us today. Mr. Haynes, it's been too long. How are you?
Hey, good. It's been a good week for me. Larry Walker's in the Hall of Fame, baby.
I know. This is you had sent me a black and white picture of him, which I was like, isn't that? That just feels good. And then I saw him wearing a SpongeBob shirt, and I'm like, that's even better. That's amazing.
Legendary. Awesome. Yeah, he's comfortable in his own skin, Larry Walker.
That to be sure. No question about it. Do you have one specific Larry Walker memory that you would like to air before we move to the Calgary Flames?
No, not really, other than there's a reason that on and off since he came up and went through his big league career and now retired, and every time I've had a slow-pitch jersey, it's had 33 on the back, and it's for that reason. He was a guy, I loved that guy. Just the arm in right field, the bat, the speed, like I love those kind of well-rounded, and he was a legit five-tool guy. So, yeah, no, I was a big fan.
Well said. Flames at the break. What are your reflections on the it's more like two-thirds than a half, but this pause allows us to look back. What are your feelings on the Flames, and how would you have felt if you had been told that their record would be what it is at this juncture of the season, a year after running away with the West, seemingly?
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, and by record, do you say their win-loss record, or the record being how close they are to first place?
No, the record, not the standings, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been underwhelming. Everything about it's been underwhelming. I mean, you could look and say, hey, they've won six of their last eight, which is accurate, but 6-1 goal wins in there that could have been probably flip-flopped to 2-6 if their goalies aren't kind of playing out of their mind. So it does feel like this break, coming out of this break, the team needs to be a little different. Maybe it's structured a little different. Maybe there's a few new faces. I'm not sure what, but it feels like they need to do something. It just isn't necessarily working just the way it is right now. And I don't know what that, I think there's a number of things. Maybe it's call-ups, maybe it's trade, maybe it's all of those things. But I'm really anxious to kind of see what that lineup looks like, not only who's in it, but how it's constructed and what the line combinations are when they get back to work on Tuesday night.
They sit 15th in the NHL by points percentage. So that's the standings talking. That's not good at all. That is like barely into the playoffs. But as you alluded to at the beginning, you are a single point out of top spot in your division, which is a weird spot for a team to be in heading towards the trade deadline, because you're not far from missing, but you aren't far off either from having home ice theoretically all the way until the third round, where you'd first have to start on the road.
Yeah, and there's a bit of drop off in the Central there, and they're kind of been a little bit underwhelming. Once you get beyond those top three, you could find yourself Pacific in terms of your first two rounds, and then you get some momentum going. So it is a bit of a weird spot, and they certainly are in a position to take full advantage of how the system works.
What's the most glaring need for the Calgary Flames as they head to the deadline?
I do believe, well, in terms of personnel, you mean, or just what do they need?
Well, I mean, I would take last year's Johnny Gaudreau, but I don't know that that's available in trade. I'm speaking specifically on trade. So what are they looking for?
I subscribe to the notion that they do need to bring in an upper echelon forward, because I think it just would help everybody kind of slot a little bit better. I think they're asking for a lot from some guys. You know, you think about Mangiapane playing on the top line. Well, I think he's been fine at times, but maybe you're asking a little bit too much there. If you could just bring in someone that's a bit more established, that has some, I think it just it there's a ripple effect there, and I think everybody kind of may slot a little bit better. So I think that's where the need is.
And you've done a great piece on The Athletic. Darren Haynes joining us on the Flames Roundtable with Ryan Pinder and Peter Klein, that has essentially targeted a bunch of exactly that, right shot wingers that theoretically could come in and help the top line of the second line. Walk us through some of your findings.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, it was Pierre LeBrun, who's columnist for The Athletic, had a sit down with Brad Treliving, and what he was able to glean out of that is Treliving was very kind of candid about, we know he's got cap space and he wants to spend it. He's told everybody that, but it was got pretty descriptive about it, saying, I'm looking for a right shot forward, which if you look at the team, they don't have a right shot winger at all. They haven't had one for 2 months. They're the only team in the NHL without a winger on either side that shoots right. So it's a need. And so I firmly agree that's what they are looking for, especially when you're, 4.5 weeks away from the trade deadline. So that's where you start, is right shooting right wingers. Not just guys that play right side, but actually guys that shoot right as well, because that kind of helps your dynamic, could help your power play. So some of the guys that then kind of rise to the top of the list when you're looking at that, because you also, I think, look at guys that have term, because Brad Treliving's also been kind of upfront about that. He doesn't want to necessarily bring in a rental. Maybe he settles for a rental on the day of the trade deadline, but right now he's not shopping for what he does. He's not settling. He wants to go for kind of his ideal, and I think the ideal is at least this year and at least one more season. So you're bringing in someone that you're going to have two playoff runs with kind of at minimum. So that's where I started, and if you go down the list there, you know, guys that came to the kind of the top of the list for me, Kyle Palmieri in New Jersey. New Jersey is a team that's kind of stuck in the middle a little bit right now. They've got some really good young talent. Do they try and fast-track a rebuild, or do they kind of try and grab some more assets and kind of build around the Heishers and the Hughes? So Kyle Palmieri from New Jersey is one guy to look at, a guy that's been regularly putting the puck in, not just this year, but in recent years. 28, he's got another year after this season. So, and it's a 4.65 cap hit, so it's a guy that fits financially as well. Other names that kind of pop for me, Josh Anderson out of Columbus. If, you know, he had a bit of a rough contract negotiation last time around. His agent, Darren Ferris, the same agent for Sam Bennett, there's some familiarity here, I guess, with the GM. Is Josh Anderson, given that Columbus is 15-2-2 in their last 19, well, he's been injured. So maybe they feel that they can get some assets for him, and they've got some guys that have come up and filled his position, and maybe they are dealing from a strength there. So Josh Anderson is another one. Big guy, 6'3", power forward, and you know the words power forward really resonate in the Flames front office. And Kasperi Kapanen is the one that you hear a lot about, obviously, out of Toronto, as maybe a guy that's playing a little further down their depth chart, that, again, a young guy, so it's going to cost something. It's going to cost a lot to get these guys, but it, again, satisfies that right shot, right winger, skilled guy, can score with lots of upside.
When you talk about some of these players, it's not soccer where you can just give the other team money and they send you a player. There's going to have to be assets going the other way. In terms of assets that you can move in a trade, what are some that could be available from a Flames perspective?
Yeah, well, that's where the rubber meets the highway. That's where the rubber meets the road for sure, is what is the cost? And the cost is not going to be, you know, for names like Kapanen, for names like Josh Anderson, who they're both young guys on deals that you'd have their rights for a while. It's not going to be Mark Jankowski. Sorry, folks. It's not going to be, and it's not even going to be TJ Brody or Travis Hamonic, guys that are on their on the way out, or on 3 months away from being unrestricted. I think now you got to look into, is it Dylan Dubé? Do they have to give up something off their left side, where they do have some depth, to get someone on the right side? Is it, you look at the blue line and you think, you know, with Valimaki, they know more than us. We haven't heard a Valimaki update for a long time, but if he's looking to make a full recovery, could he be back this season? Do they have wiggle room there to maybe move someone like Noah Hanifin? Noah Hanifin would make, all of a sudden now you're talking about a very legit hockey trade possibility by dealing a guy that, you know, we know all about Noah Hanifin, a young guy, a pretty good contract, and he's going to be very attractive to other teams. So that's what kind of what the names you're talking about. If you want to get into the Kapanens and the Andersons, I think you're going to have to deal something that they want, and those are a couple of examples.
Who else is on your list? Because that's three, and they're all quite different. You've got Anderson, who is an RFA this summer. Kapanen is an RFA in the summer of 2022, and Palmieri is an unrestricted free agent. Two summers from now, a year and a half. There's different ages, different contractual statuses, different years of expiry. But who else is out there? We've heard some other names too.
Yeah, you know, I think you look at Anaheim. Calgary obviously knows Anaheim well. They played him a lot and unsuccessfully. So the Ducks. you know, there's guys there that they will have seen and will have seen in good form. Andre Kasha is another guy that I think is kind of an interesting guy to keep an eye on. From what we hear, maybe it's not working quite as well under the new coach in Anaheim, and that's sometimes where players' trajectories change a little bit. Maybe there's just not a fit there. And so after two pretty good offensive seasons, and he's only 24, could that be a guy that, I mean, you don't see the Flames and Ducks make a trade very often. I think the last one of significance probably involved Mike Commodore, and that was a long time ago. So Andre Kasha is another one. And again, he's an RFA now. People may be wondering, well, what's with the RFAs? This is terrain that Brad Treliving has traveled many times. He brought in Dougie Hamilton, who needed a new contract. Was that an RFA? Lindholm was an RFA. Hannafin was an RFA. He's not had any issue bringing in guys who maybe weren't going to get or weren't happy with what they might get from that team and getting them signed and getting them on the roster. So Kasha is another one. Ricard Raquel, maybe two more years left instead of just one more year. He's got two more years left. Why would Anaheim want to give him up is a great question, but you do hear rumblings that maybe he could be had. So there's another guy that's had some pretty good success against the Flames that they know well, who again is that fairly tall. He's a 6 foot right shot winger. So those are again some examples. And if you wanted to get into the rental situation, Tyler Toffoli obviously is the one that we've been talking about a lot. Wayne Simmons' name has been in there for year after year. Are they interested in Wayne Simmons? Well, maybe at the right price. Not right now, though. I think they're looking at other guys. But those are, again, some more names. And then, you know, Kasha's 24 and Simmons 31. So, again, you have that full range. So there's lots of different guys checking different boxes, are in different situations, and will cost different things, right? So I think it's kind of balancing all that and really just seeing what you can get and see which way they go.
Last year, this club had the second best regular season in franchise history. And correct me if I'm wrong, the only move they made at the deadline was asking for Oscar Fantenberg from LA with a conditional pick going back. What would you handicap the likelihood of that caliber of busyness of a deadline where it's just a very minor tweak? A depth move was the only move they made last year. Is that likely or unlikely this year?
Yeah, it feels unlikely. Like, it feels like this has a feel of current core last chance, and I think they want to give them their best chance. And if the GM was to take that cap space and not use it at all, I would be shocked, to be honest. So I think if anything, if they can't get their ideal, and by ideal, that's a right shot forward, that's a guy with term, then you're into rentals, and maybe you're into, again, just depth and bringing in that, maybe that's where the Kreiders come into the conversation, or the Zookers, or the guys that are guys that can play the right side, but like everybody else on the Flames roster, they're actually a left shooter. So there are other ways this will go, and I would think it would go that way rather than no way, because I think the GM is determined to change the mix. He's been trying. We know the trades he tried to make last summer. I think there's a determination there, and he's pretty stubborn. I would be surprised if he doesn't get a deal done at some point. It's just hard to say how soon.
Aside from forwards who potentially could or could not shoot right-handed, is there another need that this team might be looking to address on a bit of a minor end toward the deadline?
Well, depending on what they use for currency, if you see them move a defenseman, if they let's say they use Hamonic or Brody as part of the package, two guys that are. They had the exact same situation as Frolik was in. They're veterans that are coming up on being a UFA. So if he was to peddle a defenseman, then they'd be in the market for a defenseman. So they have the luxury of Rasmus Anderson playing on the third pairing. I think he could play top four. And that's where dealing a defenseman would make sense, is they have a guy that could go in and play top four, and then they just bring in a depth guy. So I can see that being a subsequent need, depending on what they do and what players they leverage in order to get that kind of first deal done.
I got an idea how they could find two right-hand shots to play right wing. Recall Austin Zarnik and move Lindholm back to the right. I'm not saying those are both good ideas, but they're options I think we might forget about at times.
And Zarnik's an interesting situation, isn't he? I mean, we forget because it's been so long that he was last in the lineup, but actually he was playing his best stretch of hockey in a Flames uniform. He had become a regular on the second power play. He had scored in a couple of games in a row. He had points in three straight. It does feel like I would actually be quite surprised if he isn't at practice this week. It just feels like that's an easy incremental upgrade that they can make easily. Like they have a roster spot open right now. They only have 22 on the roster, so that's an easy one. And he's gone down and he's scored and he's kind of got back in shape. So if that doesn't happen, it is a bit puzzling for sure. So I'm with you there, Ryan. I'd be surprised if that at minimum isn't kind of something we see sooner than later.
Yeah, and I'm not advocating to move Lindholm off center, but the Zarnik one does reek of it's right in front of you. And I know they were concerned about, okay, recovery from the injury. It's essentially a second conditioning stint. His conditioning stint came up. They sent him back down. He cleared. But as you alluded to, like, there's an open spot, and you're not in this game of, like, as much as you can accrue space, because after the Frolik trade, you have substantial space. It's nice to keep getting more, but they're not in the pinch they were prior to the Frolik trade. There's a lot of math that says Zarnik up would make sense.
Yeah, and you know, find a little change up. That the fourth line is not going to win you a Stanley Cup, but right now it's not contributing much. And so I think there's opportunity there. I look at Austin Zarnik. I look at a guy like Alan Quine. Is it time to give him another try? Again, not the solution on his own, but you know, based on what they've been rolling out, they haven't been getting any offense from Reeder. They haven't been getting anything from Jankowski. Ronaldo kind of had his day in the sun there about 2 months ago, but you're not getting offense from Ronaldo. And what did this team need? They need offense. And so Quine has also been kind of lighting it up pretty good in the AHL, and a guy who's got plenty of experience. He says, well, both those guys, I think Quine's 26 and Zarnik's 27. This time of year, you're getting into the final 32 games. Those are two guys that, again, just as kind of incremental upgrades, I would be considering them if I was the GM.
Well, and you look at the strength of this team last year, and it was second in the league in scoring and all of that. It was, you can roll four lines, and not that you're equally comfortable with all of them, but it was four lines that were producing a little bit offensively. With how close this league has been, and as many as one goal games as this team's played in so far this year, I think being able to roll four lines would be a boost. So calling up some of those guys from Stockton, I think, does make a lot of sense.
And you also, the other thing that I would do that I'm a big advocate of is moving Backlund back to center. I feel like it was an interesting thing to try, but at this point, I think you're wasting him. I would move him back to center. It does move Derek Ryan down a notch, I guess, if you wanted, but I think you then become a bit of a 3A and 3B with your bottom six lines. But if you had a fourth line of Ryan, let's say Quine and Zarnik, I suggested that a week or two ago. You know, there's a lot more potential for offense there, a lot more than what they're currently running out there. And in terms of those who are like, hey, well, why Derek Ryan on the fourth line? Well, keep in mind he also is on the penalty kill, a regular. He's on the power play, a regular. So he's going to still get plenty of minutes. But I think that's an opportunity to upgrade that fourth line. And as you said, Peter, you know, maybe you get more offense and you get more spread out offense, because that line with Derek Ryan and Mangiapane and Hathaway last year, like, they really were kind of the unsung hero of that second half when everybody else kind of got cold.
What would your crystal ball tell you about the futures of Sam Bennett and Mark Jankowski, two-thirds of that fourth line that hasn't been getting traction?
Yeah, there's another name. We talk about guys that could be leveraged. Sam Bennett is another good suggestion. You know, how long does he need? I would think Sam Bennett is a definite trade chip, because there are still going to be plenty of GMs out there who scouted him, loved him during his draft year. Those loyalties, those allegiances, those memories are always pretty deeply entrenched. And so there will be guys that there's always guys that feel that we can turn him around. I know exactly what Sam Bennett needs. So that's another trade chip. So yeah, in terms of their future, I think they're right in that conversation in terms of assets that could go out the door in the next 4.5 weeks.
Thank you, sir. Good catching up. Appreciate it. Make sure you're locked and loaded here. Two Oilers games and the defending Stanley Cup champs right out of the gate. Wow.
Yeah, it's not bad, eh? No, I think we it's the marathon conversation to start the season, but I'll tell you, we're kind of into sprint mode now, so it should be a fine final 2.5 months.
Do appreciate it. Keep up the good work at The Athletic. Thank you.
Okay, see you, boys.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.